live in faith and see you do incredible things. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put your hands together and bless God? Come on, put your hands together and bless God. How great it is to be in a community of believers. Can I get you to do me a favor? I want you to invite somebody to come to church with you. Invite them to come sit with you on a Sunday. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising. Yes, invite somebody to be a part of your community so they can experience this also. If you're viewing us online, Facebook Live, welcome. I want you to come see us, experience this in person in the name of Jesus. But everybody is looking for a community, and I'm going to get you, we already greeted each other when we spoke, but I'm going to get you to do something that may make some of you a little uncomfortable. You may find you at a seminar about the iceberg, but I want to demonstrate to you. Watch this.
Good.
Does anybody know what month they were born in? Yes. Born in the month of September. Anybody born in the month of September? God bless you. Yes. The Lord knew what he was doing that month. I don't know about everybody. Everybody knows their shoe size, right? I would hope so. Have you ever seen somebody that take their shoes off and when they get them off, they're like, Jesus. I'm like, them ain't your shoes. It's too small. Here's what I want you to do. Give me a favor. I want you to go find at least one person. You may find more. It's going to require you to get up. Find one person that has your same birth month and find one person that has your same shoe size. If it's a lady may wear your same. You may wonder, why in the world is he asking me to do this? Why is he asking me to do this? Give me a favor. Stand up. I want you to do it right now. Somebody with your birth month or your same shoe size, You spoke to more people in 2 minutes than you probably have the entire time you've been attending church here. I wanted to challenge you to go talk to somebody. You found somebody with your same shoe size. It may put you in an uncomfortable space, but when you saw people doing it, the whole point is, man, my life opened up when I started embracing people. I'll be honest, I love people. I love seeing potential. I don't always like being around people. But somebody said, hey, man, I love people. And it ain't you, it's me. It's not personal. It's not you, it's me. I recharge being by myself. But being around people, because everybody's looking for a community.
Yeah.
Y'all remember the, how many remember the show Cheers? Yeah. Anybody remember the thing, I want to go where everybody knows my name, and they're always glad you came. We want to go where people can see. Troubles are all the same. We want to go where everybody knows your name. Everybody wants to go to a place where people know who they are. We're looking for this sense of community, a place to belong. You go to Starbucks. I never understood it. Starbucks makes billions of dollars a year off a $5 to $6 cup of coffee, and some people will stay in there all day. Most restaurants you go into, they stand over you. Can I get your plate? Can I get your cup? They want you moving because that's how they make their money. They want you to stay. They want you to use their internet. You know when somebody give you free Wi-Fi, you're going to stay. This guy sitting next to me one day when I was sitting there, I like to go in there and write. He didn't buy nothing. He drunk water and played his little gaming thing. I'm like, how do they make money? But it's a sense of community they create. A group church of God in Christ. And for many people, that's your place to belong. You identified yourself. Anybody know Church of God in Christ in here? Yeah, you say, this is hand clapping, foot stomping, tongue talking, Pentecostal Church of God in Christ. You can't join in.
You got to be born in.
And everybody's like, my mama wasn't coaching like that. How can I be born in this? And meant born again. Or you could have been United Methodist. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Baptist, that was your place to belong. Everybody's looking for that sense of belonging. But here's what I learned. People don't necessarily leave places because they disagree. They leave places when they're disconnected. A lot of people who leave relationships, they leave mentally and emotionally before they ever disconnect physically. You got to know, okay, I want a place where I can be heard. I want a place where I can be validated. I want a place where I'm not judged. I know I got issues. I don't want to be judged, but I want to be better. But here's the challenge. I learned that everybody wants to be connected, but not everybody knows how to be connected. Some of us are a little socially awkward. Some of us are good in some settings and we're not good in others. I went to College, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, the other mocks in UTC, right here on the front row. I went, and all of my friends, Jamie and those guys, they went to MTSU, Wookie went to Motlow. I was the only person up there, and I don't, an introverted person, I didn't discover I was introverted until I went up there, and I didn't know anybody. And I met this guy from Tullahoma on campus, and we hooked up our freshman year, I don't know, half the campus was from Memphis. So I learned how to say Maine, that dude slaw, all kinds of stuff. I learned you don't eat fish by yourself. You gotta have spaghetti with your fish. You from Memphis? What's up, man? How y'all doing? They watching Larry. They watching the game. That man slow. He can't ball. And I'm like, man, what are they talking about? I learned all those kind of stuff. My freshman year was great. My path was a little different. My sophomore year, nobody's different. Nobody's better. We just different. Crowd, I was with. They started doing one thing. I was doing another. My sophomore year was probably one of the loneliest years of college that I had. During the week, I was fine because everybody was out going to class. The weekends were crazy because for me, because I didn't party. I can't dance, number one. But then the way I was raised in church, no, you don't go to no parties. We don't dance. Oh, no. You're going out on Saturday. You sitting up in church on Sunday. No, you can't do it. So I was scared. I dropped by and looked, but I was scared to go. So they were at parties. I don't know what I've done in no way. I got lonely. So I battled myself. I said, I can't keep going back home. I got to make Then part of it was me. So my junior year, I did what any normal 19-year-old boy would do when you're alone. I got a girlfriend. I don't know if I really liked her that much, but I was just tired of being alone. I was on that thing to get serious. That don't come out right. But you know what I'm saying? I was lonely. So what do? You find a girlfriend. And I probably ruined her life. She's probably in counseling now. You got this lonely guy who gets everywhere she go to class. I'm sitting right there when she get through. How you doing today? You have to learn how to belong. Here's my main idea. That took way too long. Here's my main idea today. If people don't know you, they can't love you, and they cannot connect to you. Can I say it again? If people don't know you, they cannot love you and they cannot connect to you. Instead of focusing on getting to, instead of focusing on being known, I want you to focus on getting to know people. When you focus on getting to know people, you'll be surprised how known you become. Instead of walking in the room trying to be a wonder, why don't you walk in and be wonderfully and wonderful and speak somebody to somebody, and you'll figure out how known you become.
That's right.
I'm going to give you a scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It's going to tell you how to connect with people, right? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It's on the screen there. And it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to give you some steps. Some of you are masters of this. But some of us in different settings, I want to show you how to build community and how to connect with people. Is that all right in here? First thing is this. You got to work the room. Let your neighbor say, work the room. It says, consider one another. That's work in the room. When you walk in, you got to walk with your head up, put theme music in your head, and you walking in that room, walking about, thinking about, who can I connect with? Instead of waiting on somebody to speak to you, won't you go speak to them?
That's right.
Can we walk in? Man, ain't nobody speak to me today. My question is, did you speak to anybody? The problem is if you spoke to them and they did not speak back. So I'm walking with a level of purpose and confidence. When I walk in the room, who do I need to connect with today? Who do I need to know? I'm telling you this because in church, I'm out in the parking lot speaking to people. I'm waiting. I mean, when you come out, we're going to have ice cream sandwiches for you today. We're going to have a good time. I'm good here. But I'm telling myself this here because when I go in social settings, it's so easy for me to go check out, sit in the corner, and people watch. How many of y'all enjoy people watching here? That's one of the best sports out today. And people do some crazy stuff. Like, man, what were you thinking? Did you not know that that door was not going to open when you got up there? Like, what are you, why were you doing? I mean, I love watching people. Look to them and say, we got some hilarious creatures. Here's the thing, if I watch people, I'll never get to know people. Yeah. So I tell myself this, even if it's one person, I got to meet somebody new in every setting that I'm in. And for you, you can talk the horns off of Billy Goat. You don't meet a stranger. I meet strangers every day, so I have a certain number of questions. Some of you figure that out, because here, until I get to know people, I may ask you the same question every week. You're like, did you just ask me that last week? Yeah, and I'm going to ask you again until I get into my system right here, right? So you got to work the room. Look at them and say, work the room. Tell them because it can be worked. Watch this. If one person connects, you can too.
Yes.
So I got to work the room. The next thing is this. You got to engage in community building. It says, let us consider one another to provoke one another unto good works. Somebody say good works.
Good
work. That word provoke means almost to irritate. It means somebody push you to another level. But you're pushing them to good works. Some people are anointed to get on your nerves. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't put their name up. Don't sit, don't post them about nothing. But there are some people, I don't believe Satan owns anybody, but there are some people I think he rents to own. And they are anointed to. I'm serious. They get on you. It's like, are you serious? And they find you all the time. Watch this. But the reality is, as believers, we are to provoke one another unto good works.
Yes.
You need somebody who's able to push you to the next level in life, and you got to make sure you're amongst community builders who know how to build something. Because some of us take constructive criticism from people who've never constructed a thing. And you get advice on literally how to build nothing. So your community must be people who know how to build stuff. Here's the reality. Why is that important? Because all of us in this room can see everybody in this room but yourself. I can see Elder Holman, I know what he has on. I see Martin, I know what he has on. I saw the praise team. You see everybody in this room, but you cannot see yourself unless somebody shows you a mirror.
Right.
You ever wonder why some people can see the problems in somebody else and can't see that same problem in themselves?
Right. Yeah.
Y'all talk back to me in here. You ever wonder if you struggle with confidence, why you can see something in somebody else you can't see in yourself? Because you need a mirror to see it, and relationships are the mirror by which we see ourselves.
Yes.
And if you don't have people around you, you're not really self-aware. You ever had a bunch of ideas in your head, and when you finally told somebody, it didn't sound as good as it did when you spoke it as it was in your head? Thank God for people in your life that you can speak to. I'm going to give you three levels of people that you need in your life, all right? The first person that you need is an encourager. Rip, can you come? This is Charles. Charles is an encourager. That is his gift. Charles has the gift of encouragement. He can encourage you.
Charles, when he gets finished with you, if you felt like jumping off a bridge, when he gets through, you're going to build a bridge for everybody to go across. He's just that good. All right? He's an encourager. You need somebody in your life like him who is an encourager. But you also need somebody like this. Dad, can you grab, this is my father right here. This is his personality. I love my dad. He's real smooth. He's real cool. But he has a way of ruining my dreams when I want to tell him stuff. Come on up here. Get this thing out. My dad, I'm like, man, I'm going to do this. And he just hit the asking questions. You have somebody in your life where you want to cast your vision and cast your dream. They just ask you a million questions. Have you thought about this? Oh, get behind me. Say, that ain't safe. He is that guy that showed you yourself. Let me show you something about a challenger. Because when you have a challenger, particularly when you got dreams like me, the easiest thing to do is to avoid people like this. Now you're a dream killer, you're messing with my faith. But here's the reality, they're showing you things you should think about.
Right.
They see things inside of you and they'll point stuff out to you. And the easiest thing to do is to discount them. If you are the challenger and that is your personality, let me do this for a minute. Can you have a seat for a minute? If they want to get rid of you, that's fine. Speak your truth and leave your truth with them. Leave the mirror with them, because here's the thing about truth, you cannot escape it.
Yeah.
Because when they are not around, I'm still hearing your words.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'm going to have to look myself in the mirror and say, maybe he was right.
Yeah.
You could be right down the road and he is nowhere around. You, oh, I don't want to call them. Man, why are you messing with me right now, God? But when you leave truth with them, you're worried about your kids, you're worried about relationships. No, speak truth with love. Leave it there. And I don't care if it's 5 years later, that truth is going to come up.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to someone in here. You're challenging with your, I don't know if it's a child or somebody in your life. They're not hearing you and they've cut you out of their life. Don't you cry no more tears over that. Don't you worry, no more nights. Can I tell you something that's working when you're not there? The Bible says truth endure to all generations. While you're not there, they can be doing whatever they're doing, but at some point, they want to look themselves in the mirror and say, Mama Papa was right. Daddy sure make a whole lot of sense. They may do it with tears in their eyes. They may do it in a place where they don't want to do it, but at some point,
yes,
you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, maybe they're right. You need a challenger in your life who constantly, wherever you go, they're showing you yourself. You need an encourager in your life, and you need somebody like this. Elder Holman, can you come? He is good at this. You need somebody who holds you accountable. An accountability person is not a person who interrogates you. You living holy today? What have you done? You've been, no. You've been speaking to people. No, you don't need an interrogator. You will run from them. You need somebody who knows your potential. Encouragers speak to your dreams and your potential. You need somebody who also knows the things inside of you that need to be challenged. Your accountability partner is the bridge in between the encourager, your potential, and here, your reality, the challenger. You need somebody to bridge the gap between your dream and where you are right now. You need somebody that can say, boy, you can conquer the world, but you show jacked up right now. And they can get you up. Anybody got somebody like that that can get you together in 5 seconds, and when you get through, you all right? You need all three of these people in your life to be able to get you to the next place where you need to be. And that's how you provoke one another. Thank you to good workers. You need somebody who can look at you and say, something ain't right today.
Yeah.
What you mean something ain't right? And you're in your mind, you're thinking, what you know? What God done told you. What you said, what you picking up. Because if you were raised in certain circles, you think they know all your business. The reality is they may not know all your business. God may have led them to pray for you. You have no idea what they can speak over your life. Can I tell you guys something? Don't run from good people, because here's the challenge is when we're going through stuff, we tend to gravitate towards people who tell us what we want to hear. You need to gravitate towards people who tell you what you want to hear and what you need to hear, and will bring the two together to get you to where God wants you. That makes sense in here? I want to encourage you. Work the room. Somebody say, work the room. Then you got to engage in community building. Do me a favor, if you're taking notes, write this down. Who's my encourager? Who's the encourager in my life? Who is my accountability? Who is my challenger? Who is that person? You say, oh, Lord. They're not a dream killer. They're really a dream maker. They're the person who shows you your... That makes sense in here. The next thing I want you to do is this. I want you to avoid the trap of disconnection. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. I want to use this moment right now to put a plug for the local church. I believe the local church is one of the greatest things God ever created. And it's not just because I think I'm the greatest preacher in the world, we got the greatest music, or we got a great children's church. You can find good preaching anywhere. I think Mr. Jakes is streaming right now. Stephen Furtick, that great preacher who is streaming it, you can pull up your thing. It's not just about good preaching.
That's
right.
It's not just about good singing.
That's right.
It's about being in a body of believers who know where you are. It's good to have friends out there who can do, but it's something to have people who can pick you up in the spirit, who can pray you through stuff.
Oh,
yes. When you're going through, say, listen, we're going to fast for the next 12 hours. I don't like to fast, but I'm going to fast for you. You need somebody who can walk you through, because here's the challenging thing. When we're going through tough times, most of us gravitate towards people who really cannot get us to the place where you need to be. When you're going through tough times, that's really the time when you can get a hold of somebody who really knows God and encourage you in your faith. Anybody, be honest, has been through a tough time in here, and it was people from your local church. It was people who picked you up in the spirit, the people who really had a connection with you that prayed you through. I want to challenge you, when you're tempted, don't disconnect. Satan is at work to get people to disconnect in every part of life. Satan will give you an excuse for every opportunity that God gives you to connect. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says this. Paul said, there's a wide open door for effective service. He's open to me, but there are many adversaries. For every open door, Satan also always puts an opportunity and an excuse for you not to connect. Man, that's a great church, but them people, they snobbish. Man, that's a great job to have, but I heard they racist over there. Man, that's a great person to meet. I heard that she's this. I heard that she's that. And Satan will give you an excuse not to do what you need to do. They open up a new gym by myself, by my house. Yeah, but then people over there are going to be looking at me crazy. You ain't never even been to the gym. Satan gives you an excuse for every time you should connect. God say, this is a great time to praise God. I ain't praising God. They had me on Church Alive, Church Alive on social media, mocking my shout. Every time you get to the truth, every time you get ready to do something, there's always an excuse. But at some point in life, you got to say, listen, later for the excuses,
yes.
I want to do what God wants me to do.
Oh, yes.
If you ever feel like disconnecting, or you are disconnecting, here's a question I want you to ask yourself. Is it me? Is it me? Riding down the road, I have a 12-year-old autocorrect who rides with me every morning and every day on school. His name is Isaiah. He likes to correct everything I do. He can't drive, but he likes to tell me how to drive. And I had this bad thing about if people would text me, and I'll try to text back right then and say, Daddy, you know you ain't supposed to be texting and driving. Thank you, Isaiah. So he reminds me of all these things. So I have now started to use this thing on my phone called voice notes. You can talk and text it to your phone. If I got an iPhone, I don't know how Android works, but you can do that on iPhone, right? So I talk it into my phone. One day I got, matter of fact, for this message, I was getting, God was telling me stuff while I was riding down the car. I could not write it in my notes. So I put on my voice recorder and I hit the thing and I start talking. I got so frustrated because the words I was saying was not what was put in here. Anybody ever sent a text and the how it decoded it to the text is not what you said?
Yeah.
And you said that you really don't cuss. You're putting cuss words in there. I do not, so I did not work the whole way. I'm like, where are these words coming from? I'm sitting here getting mad, upset with it. Somebody need to call out home. It's a shame you don't pick up your voice right. And when I picked up Isaiah from school, something said, just ask him to do it. I said, Isaiah, I think my phone ain't working right. I want you to try this. And I hit the voice record button to do my things. I said, say this. And he said it. And it did it accurately. I said, wait a minute, something ain't right. I said, say this again. It recorded and it did it perfectly. At some point, I had to realize, well, maybe it wasn't iPhone. Maybe it was the nut that was holding the phone that was the only thing to work with it. Maybe I'm country. Maybe I stir my words together. Maybe I don't use proper diction. I'm about to bring down a whole company because I can't get my speech right. Y'all laughing at me, but how many people you done wrote off because of personality dysfunction in your own heart? How many things have you stopped because you didn't stop and ask yourself this question? What if it's... There's a whole lot of stuff that God is doing that he hadn't done in your life yet. If God has healed somebody, surely he can do it for me. If God has made a way for somebody, surely he can do it for me. If there's one, anybody in here, God ever brought you out of a situation that you didn't know how you're going to get out of testifying here for a moment, surely he can do it for me. God ever healed anybody in here, surely he can do it for me. God ever rescued anybody from depression in here, surely he can do it for me. The question you got to stop and ask yourself is it me? Israel, Jerry, I'm a church boy. We were raised in church. That's all I know. So when we were growing up, mom and daddy said, Y'all can't listen to Michael Jackson. I'm going to them little silver gloves, walk around. That's a whole night in my house. We couldn't go to dances. Anybody grow up like that? Yeah. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. We couldn't go to dances. Ashley, from 15 to 50, all the ladies look the same age. Y'all wearing skirts down to here. It's field day at school. Y'all got the long blue jean shirts on and some white shoes. Running out the car. We were playing volleyball at a church out of the park in college, and this lady had a skirt on because she didn't believe in wearing pants, and she kept falling, and she fell so slow because she grabbed the skirt because she couldn't, I don't want to mess up another gentleman. I'm thinking, why don't you just put some shorts on? I grew up in that kind of environment. We couldn't have R&B music, so my cousin Charles, he would record me some music. You know, you had one side, you hit play, and one side play and record. So he put me mixtapes together. And if it wasn't, he recorded off the radio when it came in. So when Y107 had something come in, he did play and record. When it went on Y107, BET finally came on, and MC Hammer was big at the time. He put his jam box in front of the TV, nothing but straight truck. He recorded videos off the TV. We couldn't talk in the background and say, shh. I can't tell you how many tapes I got my brother Jonathan talking in the background. Man, I don't want you messing this up. We couldn't do so. I went to college. Larry half a campus from Memphis. I ain't never seen nobody against the wall. I ain't never heard of 8-Ball MJG. I ain't never heard of Memphis' own DJ Spanish Fly. Now, I didn't know about all these things, and they started doing this stuff, and I liked it, but it made me uncomfortable. Half of them were raised in church, so they'd be in the dorm room, whatever, and I put shout music on. What y'all know about that? Hey. Here's something that I was afraid to admit. I'm uncomfortable. And when you're uncomfortable, you bring everything back to what you're comfortable to. And instead of asking myself, is it me? I'm sitting here like I'm talking to Jesus all day, knowing I'm struggling with the same thing they struggle with, because you listen to 8-Ball MJG. I'm going to put my shout list on. The reality is, I wasn't that close to God. I was just uncomfortable in that situation. Yes. Many of us have been uncomfortable in situations, and you have reduced it to what makes you comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm just this, and I'm just that. Yeah, you are this, and you are that, but there's so much more in you if you'll ever put yourself in a position to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yes.
I like my chicken fried. You know, they make chicken all kinds of ways. They'll fry it. They'll put it on rotisserie. They'll bake it. They'll barbecue it. Put garlic parmesan on the chicken. Or they put chicken all kinds of ways. But at the end of the day, it's all chicken. But you can find it to what you like. When you ever get uncomfortable, before you disconnect, before you say, this ain't me, I don't talk like that, ask yourself this question. Do I need to be here? And am I making my own self uncomfortable because I refuse to grow? You all right in here? Avoid the trap of disconnection. Particularly when God's put you in a place where you need to grow.
Yeah.
The last point is this. I want you to connect to build up and not tear down. And I want you to tell your neighbor to say, neighbor,
please connect
to build up and not to tear down.
Turn
somebody else and tell them to
please connect
to build
up
and not to tear down.
The
Bible said we should exhort one another. We can be some of the most negative people. Boy, some of us are professionals at being negative. Man, it feel good outside. You walking outside, child, it sure feel good. Did you see that little cloud up there? Man, I heard such and so-and-so got a new job. I really know. You don't know such and so-and-so. I really know them. And you bringing up all their past and God blessing them. When you get together in your group, don't be a group of dysfunction. I hate to say don't do this and do that, but your life will be so much better. I know life is jacked up and we all have stuff going on, but if you focus on building somebody up, as a people, I'm just not talking about black people, I'm talking about the human race. If we focused on building each other up versus tearing each other down, you know how much better we'd be in life? Listen, I love Believers Faith Fellowship. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd join this church. I think this is one of the best churches ever. But you are not going to hear me get up here and talk about no other church in the city. You know how many people don't go to church? What good is me to destroy another pastor if you hate seeing him in your eyes? Because here's what people say. When they don't like church, they don't talk about BFL. They say all churches. So when you tearing somebody down, they tearing down all marriages, all churches, all women, all men. So you are connected to somebody. So be connected to somebody that builds things up and not tears things down. But it says this, exhort one another as you see the day approaching. I want you to exhort people to do great things. I got Fat Albert up there. No, he ain't in the Bible. I ain't never heard him quote no Bible verses. But you got to be confident to be called Fat Albert. Man, I love Fat Albert. Man, he walked around solving problems. And I think many of us would do good if we develop a gang of people around us. But we may have the same issues and the same dysfunction, but we know how to find the plug. We know how to find somebody who has the answer. Because here's the challenge is, disconnected people normally disconnect people. And you're wondering why you hate life now and you hate people, because you're connected to people who don't like life and don't like people. And the more you are, I'm strong. You may be strong, but one of y'all gonna win after a while. And I don't know about you, but it's me. There's certain environments I cannot be in. If it is toxic, if it is negative, I don't mean any harm, but I can't be around that. I don't really care what other people are doing to the extent of sitting around and talking. If I get to that point in life, I got my own issues. I got my own challenges sitting there worried about yours. I am concerned with building people up. You know what I like? I love to see you win. When you win, I'm not trying to figure out why you won and I didn't. Thank God he's still in the winning business.
Yes.
Because I believe we are called to encourage and exhort. So let me see where we are. Y'all guys remember, the first thing you got to do is what? Work the room. The sixth thing, somebody tell me what you got to do? Engage in community building. The third thing you got to do is what? Avoid the traffic disconnected. The last thing is what? Connect and build up. And I tell you, can you go get my tape? I'm going to summarize my whole sermon in one illustration. I'm normally a Pepsi guy or a Dr. Pepper guy, but I went in the store and I had an experience of a raspberry, California raspberry, says it. Brother Stevens. Coca-Cola. Can somebody help me in my hands are full? Anybody tell me y'all see the struggle? I had this experience, appreciate it. Hey, one of our wives would to come help us. That is right. I got to work this morning. Come on, look. Let the anointing be on the open up hand and box. No, in the name of Jesus. That's one of my desks. Can somebody grab that on my desk? Did it break? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Anybody want to experience the joy of a wonderful raspberry Coke? I need four people to be sampled to. They want to have their taste buds just tantalized with raspberry. Jasmine, you want to come on, Jasmine, come have a seat. Come on, I need three more people. Three more people. Would there be enough? Yolanda, come on. Mona, come on. Okay. Here you go. Have a seat up here. Y'all have a seat. All right. Oh, there it is. That's the anointing. It's at work. Here's what happened. I want you guys to taste this wonderful Coke. California raspberry Coke. And I'm going to give you a sample that I want you to try it for yourself. Alright? I'll touch a cup here if you don't mind. And I want you to taste it. Do you want to taste it? You want to try? You want to try? Do you want to try that? Taste the Coke. Mona, how does it taste? You ain't too convinced. No, Jasmine, how's it taste? She's gonna try it again. It's just all right. It's not. How does it taste? Why don't you know how it tastes? I didn't give you any. Why didn't I give you any? You know why I didn't give her any? What is her cup doing and nobody else is doing? Many of us are not connecting because we're not open to connection. In order to connect, you gotta be open to a connection. Many of us are shut down to connection. Things have happened in life. I wanted to tell you a story about when I was preaching at a banquet and I wanted coffee at the end, and they were giving everybody coffee with me. But I figured this illustration was better. And I got so irritated they wouldn't give me coffee. I thought maybe it's because I'm the youngest, maybe it's because whatever. And all kinds of things could have went in her mind why I was not giving her Coke. You know why they didn't give me coffee? Because my cup was turned over. Many of us are frustrated because you're not connected. My question to you is, are you open to connection? Are you available to connection? Now that she's available to connection, I can pour it in there and she can taste it. It's all right. It's just all right. Do you want any more? She don't want any more. reality. She never could have told me that had she not experienced it. Some of you are saying no to stuff that you never even tried. You're saying no. She could have said no because no, she just poured those on the table. She could have said no because of looking for somebody else's face. She could have said no because somebody else experienced. I want to challenge you to be so strong enough in who you are that just because you don't like them don't mean I don't have to like them. Just because you don't like that don't mean it's not for me. I'm strong enough in my own self that I'm not going to succumb to an environment and join in on stuff that I don't necessarily believe in. When you're open for a connection, you have community. You know what would happen after a while? I guarantee you. If I would have kept, if it was really good, I think it was good. They don't think it's good. But if it was really good and I kept passing over her, one of them would have spoke up and said this, turn your cup over. The other would have spoke up and says, why are you not giving her anything? You'll never experience the joy of somebody having your back until you need somebody to have your back and keep standing up. Some of you are tired right now because you are fighting battles on your own. And God said, I got an army with you that if you will let them join in with you, they will fight with you. I want you to seize the moment. I did this. I thought y'all would like my raspberry Coke. Sorry. I'll thank y'all for the taste test, though. I want to show you in a moment why many of us are missing out on life. And it's not because life is not passing around. It's because we're not open for the opportunity. For like, only one person took their cup with them. That just showed you how bad it was. But the reality is, there's things that God's challenging you to step out and do. And you can find yourself to what's comfortable. Many of you guys are saying, I want you to lift your hands and worship and praise God. I'm not emotional. Really? Many of us have been on our phones. We've been arguing with people. Who are you talking to? You crazy. Who are you doing today? We can switch on a dime. We're emotional. We can control our emotions. God is challenging you to step out and meet new people. I want you to step up to the challenge and be open to connect. There's a world out there that you don't know of. I want you to ask yourself this question. Who do I need to meet? Who do I need to connect with that's going to expose me to the things that I need to be exposed to? In the name of Jesus. First prayer is this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here today if you're not connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're here today if you don't know God as your personal Savior through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to extend Him to you. And you say, listen, I want to connect with the Father through Jesus today and I want to be saved. Then you slip your hand up wherever you are and lead you to the Lord. God bless you. Well, here's my prayer. My prayer for you is this. God, heal every part of us that is wounded and afraid to connect. Heal every part of us that said, I will never connect again. Because some of you have said, I'll never do certain things. You said, I'll never be in another relationship. I'll never join another church. I'll never commit everything I have to another person. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Before you say never, ask God to heal the heart, the part of you. Before you start to speak, I'd ask God to heal your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God, I want you to speak words of life. I want God to connect you with people. I want you to find your encourager. I want you to find your challenger. I want you to find your accountability person. I want you to find somebody that will show you yourself so that you can be everything that God called you to be. And you're going to experience phenomenal things in life in the name of Jesus. Do me a favor, go shake 3 people's hand and tell them, we're better together. Yeah.